Konnichiwa, welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Konnichiwa, minna.
And Goz.
Hey.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we are talking about The World Ends With You, the animation, aka Tsubarashiki Kono Sekai, the animation, a series from 2021. It's just turned 5 years old, and it's on Crunchyroll, so I figured why not. It was animated by Domerica, the studio behind Token Rambu Kai Kyoden, and Gnosia. The World Ends With You, the animation, currently has an AnyList score of 57%. The game, The World Ends With You, released on the Nintendo DS in 2007. It was re-released on iOS in 2012. Re-released on Android in 2014, and re-released on Switch in 2018. A sequel, Neo: The World Ends With You, was released on Switch, PlayStation 4, and PC in July 2021, entirely coincidentally a few months after this anime. My short synopsis is, enter the Shibuya Underground and try to win the Reaper's Game with your life literally on the line. Artura?
Nice one. An amnesiac boy is forced to partake in a game he doesn't fully understand the rules of.
And close.
On another plane of existence, everyone who doesn't wear cool clothes becomes a side character and dies horribly. A cautionary tale about fashion being the real endgame.
A very hot take on the anime. I like it.
I mean, we know that multiple people die and, like, they barely get a scream.
they don't look anything different from, like, background characters.
Yeah, first time one of them spoke, I was like, wait, that's another player?
You don't look like a gamer.
We open on Neku losing consciousness. He almost immediately awakens in the middle of Scramble Crossing and wonders why he's holding some badges. They call them pins. I hate that term. They're badges.
They're pins. How dare you?
Someone then runs through him, followed by multiple other people, their surface thoughts sounding in his head. And then M. Bison tries to isekai him. But Truck Gun goes through him too.
He had already been isekai, it just doesn't work anymore.
He needs to get a Reaper truck.
Exclusive one with little wings painted on the sides. Made for running over coasts.
He gets a text message telling him to reach 104 in less than an hour, accompanied by a timer counting down on the palm of his hand. He sees another person with a hand timer before huge frogs appear from portals and kill the rando.
Should have dressed better.
Neku is tackled out of the way of the attack by someone holding a cat plushie who asks him to make a pact with them. If they don't make one, the noise will erase them. Neku YOLOs, and after they glow, Cat-san begins fighting the frogs. Neku fires a flamethrower from his hand, and both of them fight off the frogs, and we get the titles. After the fight, the barriers penning them into the immediate area dissolve, and Cat-san tells Neku... wait, I should have been calling them Neko-san. Then we'd have had Neku and Neko.
Yeah, it's not the exact same.
Anyway, it seems that the badges are what gave Neku the fire powers. They introduce themselves as Shiki Nisaki and explain that the hand timer will fade once they complete their mission. They have to survive the Reaper's Game for 7 days or be erased. Two winged people, meanwhile, are watching the pair from the top of a skyscraper, and they seem to know who they both are. Neku and Shiki soon reach 104, but Neku feels like he's being watched. And, like, there's no suspense, because the winged duo fly down immediately, and Shiki recognizes them as Reapers. They threaten the pair, and then Neku blacks out, waking on Scramble Crossing again. And Shiki is there too, and tells him that it's the second day. Neku asks about the world, and she explains things since he wasn't told the rules when he joined. They are in the underground, a parallel dimension to the real ground, which is why people kept going through Neku. Two people approach, these ones part of the underground, and the tall one, Beat, accuses them of being Reapers. The shorter one, Rhyme, tries to talk sense into Beat, and he finally understands. Like, your first thought is that they were Reapers.
Just assume the worst about people.
I do. As they introduce themselves, they all get a mission to free a trapped statue. A nearby statue suddenly gets portals around it and wolves come out. Neku jerks off to fight them jerkily. On a nearby rooftop, the two Reapers watch and comment like Statler and Waldorf from The Muppet Show. After the fight, they fly down and the purple-haired Reaper, Yashiro, uses Neku's surname, Sakubara, which Neku doesn't recognize as belonging to him. Yashiro tells Neku that if he completes a mission, kill Shiki, he'll be freed from the game. So he YOLOs and attacks her, now surrounded by noise portals. However, he's interrupted by a newcomer. Thanks, Beat and Rhyme, for stepping up. Hanakoma.
On a coma?
On a coma, yes. Yes, he is on a coma, as we were
on a coma? Episode
3.
I mean, I suppose he's dead, so he might be in a coma.
It's a little on the nose to call him on a coma, so what's Neku's name, on a dead?
Maybe Neku means dead, you don't know.
How dare you assume my Japanese skill and be right?
The Reapers are annoyed by the interruption, but they don't know who Hanakoma is. He explains that only the Game Master has authority to assign missions, and then tells Neku that he needs to trust his partner, and Neku seems truly confused by the concept before blacking out. You need to trust your partner. What do you mean? What is trust?
Like, he has amnesia. You're lucky he knows English.
Japanese.
Japanese.
He wakes again on Scramble Crossing and apologizes to Shiki, but she's absolutely fine that he almost murdered her.
Murdered squared, but go on.
He explains that... he explains that he has amnesia, other than his first name, but further discussion is cut off by a mission alert. They have to defeat the master of O East, a local concert hall. Along the way, someone is emitting noise portals and a skeleton werewolf comes out to attack the pair. But they defeat it, and the newbie, named Futoshi, we find out because of the subtitles, in fact, returns to normal, and it turns out he's going the same way as them. They meet up with Futoshi's partner, the vocalist for Death March, a band, I assume, 777. As thanks for saving Futoshi, 777 gives Shiki merch.
Swag. Stuff we all get.
Shiki and Neku enter the concert hall, and Neku jerks off again to fight the noise. Then Beat and Rhyme join them. They defeat the enemies and clear the mission, and decide to join forces going forward. Elsewhere, the Game Master and his crew are discussing the game, or something. There's a lot to summarise. I don't think it'll mean anything for the next two episodes, so I didn't.
It's just Squid Game with dead people. That kind of gives you an idea of what it is.
Back at the concert hall, the group says that they enjoyed the concert, which we didn't see, but it's strange that 777 and Futoshi could see them. Until Neku explains that's because they were Reapers.
I wonder if, because this isn't answered in the next things, I don't think, why it seems so, like, Neku's so good at recognizing Reapers. He has no memory, but the Reapers come down and he immediately knows who they are, even though the other characters, who are the ones that know about the world, did not immediately recognize them as such.
I mean, the first time he sees Reapers, he doesn't know what they are. Shiki identifies them as Reapers. But,
oh, I thought I remembered him identifying them as Reapers. My bad.
But yeah, it's strange that he knows that they were Reapers and not players. I mean, the group isn't like, oh, they must have been players. No, they're just, hey, how could they see us?
I can only assume it's because they, after the concert, they probably engaged with real life people, which might have happened off screen. But yeah, it's just a note I had here that I was like, weird.
We don't get any credits because they played over the footage. So episode 2 opens on Scramble Crossing, and it's day 4. Neku asks what happens if they win the game, but Shiki brushes it off and says that she doesn't want to lose. And the titles. We return to Neku being a jerk.
That could be any scene. Can you be more specific, please?
They're sat in a train. Pete and Rhyme find them and join them. Neku bitches and moans, but eventually Shiki talks about how she made her plushie, Mr. Mew, and her own clothes, as she wants to be a fashion designer. While Neku attempts to depress everyone, they overhear people in the real ground talking about some sale event at 104, so Neku and Shiki go. The other two, like, just leave.
So much for teaming up.
People are going nuts because of a hot influencer. Then their mission comes through. Free Spain Hill from the noise in 200 minutes. We cut immediately to the mission in progress, where wolf monsters are seemingly never-ending spawning, and it appears that two noise-infected teenagers are the cause. Shiki, who was earlier complaining that she can't talk to people in the real ground, then uses telepathy to talk to people in the real ground. This works, and the noise is defeated. And then Shiki hears someone say the name Eri, a name that she said was her friend earlier, and quickly tries to get Neku to leave the area with her. But then Eri walks past with a friend, and Neku comments that Shiki looks just like Eri. Shiki explains that in the underground, she is Eri. And then they both black out, reawakening on day 5 on Scramble Crossing. Shiki tells Neku that she won't be of any use now, and rather than question further, Neku gets distracted by a phone notification. Like, sure, it's a mission and they're timed, but come on, leave your phone alone for 10 seconds. The mission is to dominate the Scramble Crossing view at 3 o'clock. Immediately, someone in the real world, in the real ground, is telling an employee that he needs to make everyone look at a billboard at exactly 3 p.m, and Neku wonders if it's connected to their mission. That'd be a coincidence, wouldn't it? Neku finally asks about Eri, and Shiki explains that Eri is a popular girl, and she wishes that she was like her. Neku refuses to empathize. And to complete their mission, he suggests that they find that influencer.
Empathy is something that is affected by your amnesia, obviously.
Speaking of the influencer, the guy who wants people looking at the billboard is at that very moment putting a box full of badges next to the influencer. And the badges look like the noise portals. Insert gasp here.
I am outside... the town soundboard.
And now it's falling down a tall cliff.
Okay, fear fact.
Outside, Neku has discovered that a wall keeps them from going near the building. But Shiki touches it, her pocket glows, and a support reaper lowers the wall. The glowing in her pocket was the badge that 777 gave her. The pair arrive just as the influencer is getting up on stage and starting to hand out the badges. Neku uses telepathy to make them tell people to look at the billboard. Back at Scramble Crossing, everyone is looking as a symbol appears on the screen, and everyone's soul begins to evaporate from their bodies. And then lasers start blasting players. No, I haven't left anything out. This is all insane. Just as a laser is about to fire at Shiki and Neku, someone snaps their fingers, and everything returns to normal with the mission complete. This is not explained. Neku is not a jerk, and compliments Shiki. Just as her mood has improved, along comes Eri, who announces to her friend that she's giving up fashion design. She decided this because Shiki isn't there to help her realize her designs anymore. Because Shiki's dead. Shiki explains that she looks like Eri because the price she paid to play the Reaper's game was her self-image, and the prize is that you are given a second chance at life. Neku is shocked by the revelation that he's dead, then blacks out, and we get the credits.
So I wonder why at this point, Shiki mentioned When he asks earlier, what do we get if we win, Shiki just avoids it. It's like, why do that to him? He has amnesia. Just tell him.
It takes forever to explain what's going on, what the rules are. They explain a little bit and then do something and then they explain a little bit more. That's not how you explain how the world works.
That's not how real people have a conversation.
It's not how you sit someone down and tell them, hey, newsflash, you're dead. But I just found it very interesting. Like, okay, so we're going to have the conversation when either of us could faint at any moment and wake up on day six. Cool. Oh, Nick, by the way,
I'm leaving a long enough pause in here, so, like, it's now tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Palace Anime Lounge.
Episode 3 picks up at the start of the next day. Neku and Shiki discuss the group's entry fees, deciding that Neku's was his memory, Rhyme's were her dreams, and Shiki's her appearance. And then we get the titles. We return to the antagonists, who are discussing how only 4 players remain. We're on episode 3, and we're down to the last 4 and the last day, almost. So this thing moves at a clip.
Yeah, at this point, ironically, I didn't know it was animated by the Gnosia people, but I was like, huh, this is giving me serious Gnosia vibes. What's going to happen?
Speaking of the protagonists, they meet up and almost immediately get a mission, reach Tower Records, but without a time limit. They decide to race there, or rather, Beat decides to race and jumps on his skateboard with Rhyme. Nearby, the 2 Reapers, Yashiro and the previously unnamed Carrier, are watching, and Yashiro is unhappy that it's such an easy mission. I should note here that in the sub, the previously unnamed Carrier is not named here, only in the dub.
Is his name Carrier?
I'm cutting that.
How dare you! He's allowed to have a bad joke.
No, it's triple A material on this podcast all the time.
That explains why I get cut out so often.
We cut to Shiki and Neku casually catching up to Beat and Rhyme near their objective, with the skater having decided to wait for them to catch up. Carrier explains to Yashiro that this easy mission is just the players drop their guard, because they are under orders. As the group approaches their goal, Rhyme shoves Beat out of the way of an attacking shark, but the shark's jaws clamp down on Rhyme, and she's erased. The Reapers come down to taunt and tease, then fly off, leaving Noise Shark to attack the group. Beat goes to solo the shark, but is grabbed by Hanakoma. He's in a coma. Last seen in episode 1, who promises to help him come to terms with the loss of his partner. He takes Beat away, tells Neku and Shiki to defeat the shark. And they do. The day ends, and on Scramble Crossing, given their final mission, defeat the Game Master at Shuto Expressway. The phone starts ringing. It's Hanakoma, to say that Beat ran off. If they complete the mission, the game is over, and Beat won't be erased by the Reapers. Neku asks why Hanakoma wants them to win, and the old guy is vague before hanging up. We cut to the Reapers, Yashiro and Carrier, who are ordering Mexican hot dogs at the restaurant called Mexican Hot Dog. Beat walks in and is, obviously, upset at them. But then elsewhere, it's now raining as Neku and Shiki talk about what they're going to do after they win. Then it stops raining as they reach their destination and they fight the Game Master. And they win. Things fade white.
It's the same ultimate they've been using throughout the whole anime, and the Game Master somehow didn't expect it.
Things fade to white and they wake up in a white space. A glam rock star approaches them, introducing himself as Katanigi, the conductor of the Reaper's Game. He offers the prize, one resurrection, to Shiki, because she has earned it. But she argues that Neku is more deserving. Katanigi suggests that Neku can join another game or become a Reaper. Neku YOLOs and goes for another game. But then Shiki begins to fade in pain, and Katanigi explains that Neku needed to pay a second entry price, the thing he values most, Shiki. And we get the credits. And then there's a post-credit scene of some greenhead person chuckling. So, has this made you want to check out Old Ends With You or its sequel?
So, no, but it's because the way, like, the world ends with you, the overall gameplay, just doesn't allure me. I feel like I would end up being more interested in the anime than I would in checking out a video game for it, which is an interesting conundrum. I don't think I've had this in the podcast yet.
I feel like I would enjoy the game more than I did the show. Because it felt like a game. And I guess I'm skipping ahead. But I don't feel like the story was told very well.
Well, I haven't played on my Switch for like 18 months, so probably wouldn't play the original. Honestly, I thought I owned it on Steam, but I got it mixed up with the 2019 visual novel Our World Has Ended. Our World Is Ended. I mean, the title's close enough. So is it a Yeta, a Nani, or a Baka, Arturo?
I think for me it's a Yeta verging towards Nani. I liked it. I liked the characters, and I enjoyed the twist at the end of, like, this. It was weirdly fitting that we watched three episodes and it ended on this. But the combat was kind of okay sometimes, and, like, Neku was just kind of annoying most of the time. So it's like, it's not a good thing when you hate your protagonist.
I used the word jerk multiple times.
Yes.
And Gus?
But it was a Nani. I thought the animation was good. The music, voice acting, it was well made overall. But the story felt like gobbledygook. I wasn't sure what the end goal is. What are we exactly working towards? The antagonists seemed like really stock antagonists. Even though I enjoyed the protagonists, it just felt like things happened for no reason. Like, I kept questioning, why is this happening now? What are we doing? Why do you keep springing new stuff on me? Can you just give me a clear goal? What's happening? What are we doing? I didn't feel the stakes. It felt stakeless. Even though I know there were stakes, I didn't really feel any weight to what's happening.
Yeah, I get that. While I agree, I gave it a Nani, but me because of that third episode, because the Crunchyroll subtitles for episode 3 are terrible. I might be able to continue watching the dub on the second monitor, but the subtitles spelt Neku's name like 7 different ways, including Nikki and Naku, and they literally could not handle Hanakoma's name. I had to look up the spelling because it kept saying that he was on a coma. On a, you know, unconscious hospital coma. Parts of it were just the characters were speaking, but there were no subtitles. It is disappointing.
I like when the subtitles referred to him as Nike and he was wearing Adidas. It was very confusing.
Yeah, if you know someone who is deaf and wants to watch this, make sure they put on the sub version, because the if you're on Crunchyroll, the Japanese audio version has different subtitles. They look better and they actually make sense. So anyway, it deserves its Annie List score, 57%.
Yeah, I think it's fitting. I think I'm just intrigued by the narrative, but it's not something I would ever put at the forefront of things I want to watch.
I am I'm curious about the source material, how it was received, and how close the adaptation is to it, to like properly judge it, I guess. But 50-60% sounds about right.
Yeah, I can't imagine that the subtitles alone have knocked this score down much, but honestly, they might have. Multiple characters speaking with one subtitle. That's... Anyway.
Multiple characters are named with single subtitle. There, multiple characters are mentioned, one name, it comes out. What was it? Peter Rhymes? Buster Rhymes?
Piece of rhyme, when she said beat or rhyme. Yeah.
I like when he says... I like when the subtitle didn't capitalize it, like it took rhyme as literal, and guy says, I don't want to live if I don't have rhyme, said one, some rapper probably.
Right, anyway, that about brings it to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Artur and Gus.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Powers Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grincast podcast. Sarodewa, game on.